Today we continue to read Acts. So we read about Peter and Paul, Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. So he healed the lame, so everyone was amazed. So Peter and preached for the second time, and then he shared about Christ. This brought about the work of the enemies. When Christ is exalted, the devil will not tolerate such thing. So he stirred up the anger of the Jewish religious leaders and their persecution. Peter at this time, and he was filled with the Spirit again. He stood up again and testified for Christ. Who is Peter? How weak is he? In three times, he denied the Lord because he was fearful. He was afraid of persecution. So this today we will see how the persecuted Peter will preach the gospel boldly. So every time we see a person who is suddenly different, we'll be amazed. So we pray that when people see us, when they see us in the past and now, they'll be amazed. Peter, of course, is a very special character in Gethsemane. So he was sleeping. It's not just him. All the disciples were asleep. And when Jesus came, can't you be praying? Although your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. And then but now they are filled with the Spirit. They are being arrested. The more they are being persecuted, the more boldly they preach. One is to gratify the flesh. One is to live by the Spirit. In this, there's a very important question. Why? Why is it that Peter can be filled with the Holy Spirit? What is the life of someone who can be filled with the Holy Spirit? Is it because someone lay hands on you and you'll be, if you speak in tongues, that you are Holy Spirit filled? Why? Why in the Garden of Gethsemane, the one who was asleep, the Peter who denied him the Lord three times, can now be filled with the Holy Spirit? The first thing, and the person who can be filled with the Holy Spirit, it knows the gospel. It must start with the knowing of the gospel. I also know the gospel. He also know the gospel. First knowing the gospel, and then he does not compromise the message of the gospel. I know the gospel. I can share the gospel. But you hear, actually, in his gospel, he mixed in with a lot of human things. And then he talked about positive psychology. And then he talked about human ethics. Are we listening? When we hear his message, we wonder whether it's about Jesus or is it about things of the world. Worldly methods, worldly ways, all mixed into it. If a person's gospel is like this, in his heart, the things that he, when he share the gospel, it will not have the power of the gospel. So that means the Spirit will not be filling this person. We know that this Peter, and then you know his focus of his message, only Christ and sin of men. Of course, he said many other things. These two important points, is always in a rest. If you never say these two things, everybody wants. So in the gospel rally, if you don't talk about these two things, people will not know what they are believing in. People have eloquence. Many people can say many beautiful words, but only the Holy Spirit knows the heart. Those who know the gospel, This person, is this person trying to seek the approval of man, or is he trying to please God? This is the first thing. Know the gospel and does not compromise it. Second thing, who would the Holy Spirit feel? Somebody is prepared and guided by the Holy Spirit. He preached the gospel in season and out of season. Paul and preached the word in season and out of season. The whole focal point of the life is not, if the person's life is not centered on evangelizing and testifying. Many people have very superficial understanding of the feeling of the Holy Spirit. Somebody, you lay hands, he's filled the Holy Spirit. All these are external. They do not know what people truly believe in the inside. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, what is the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. So it's to exalt Christ. So that the revealed word of God is given to men. It's not to give you some supernatural power. This is the power of God is what created the world from nothing. This is once this, so the purpose of God's power is such that the gospel will be spread to all nations, and after this is done, the world will just pass away. So the only reason why the world still exists today is for the gospel. No matter what kind of role that they have in the world, they know their most important vocation is to preach the word. Don't look at their external godliness and their gifts, and we just assume that he's filled with the feeling of the Holy Spirit. When we see that, some people can say very spiritual words when they go out. After that, you see the decisions, how do they spend their time and their priorities in life. What is the first thing they? The first thing they watch out for is what is his job and what car he drives. You look at the focus person, and when they have suffering trials, you must know. First, knows the gospel and does not compromise with it. The second thing, to preach the word in season, out of season. The third thing is very important. This is the real theme of today. A person who is filled with the Holy Spirit is to ready to be persecuted for the sake of the gospel. All those who want to lead godly lives will be persecuted. When Jesus said about Holy Spirit, he already talked about how they persecuted me, they will persecute you as well. When you are brought before the people of authority, do not worry what to say. The Holy Spirit will teach you what to say. Jesus has prophesied this. When you are brought before the authorities, because they are in this, they have authority because they are sitting. What is in you is greater than what is outside of you. Do not be afraid of all this authority. You also don't analyze. So these words need to twist here and there. the more you use your wits, the more the Holy Spirit does not fill you. What the Lord has experienced, the apostles experienced, the church father experienced today, we can experience it today. So Singapore, how are we persecuted? I tell you, when you have some experiences, sometimes your husband is not a believer, or your family is not persecuted, or some people give you some pressure. This one is something you need to give thanks to the Lord for. This Lord has said, great is your reward. If you're not pressured by your faith and then still rely on the Lord, you will not understand what is being filled with the Holy Spirit. The peace that the Holy Spirit has given you, the wisdom that the Holy Spirit has given you. The Holy Spirit doesn't give you a heart of anger when you are being persecuted and give you strength to oppose it. Let your yes be yes and let your no be no. You don't need to tell your family lie and say, oh, I'm going shopping, and then you come to church. And then you just do it secretly. My husband, after a while, you need to be bold, and this is the what God, the Lord will reward you. So we are. If a person is afraid to be persecuted, it's very hard to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Five years ago, I was preaching in China. I was arrested. Before that, every 4 months for the earlier 7 years, I go into China 4 times a year, from south to north and then east to west. We were all very happy to do the work of the Lord. So I asked them, do you know? So when we are all very joyful, you know, having done the work, and then I asked them, do you know that we'll all be arrested one day? Some people say, in the name of Christ, you will not. It's not I want to test them. I have this sense in my heart. So I just wanted to know what they feel, because we have heard so many stories of people being arrested. The one who said we will not be arrested, he was there as well. He was very troubled. This brother, after that, he did not follow us. Instead, he follows another gospel which talks about world faith movement gospel, always talking about peace and prosperity. They think that they will never be persecuted. It is just for. When you are truly persecuted, then what is the. Then you realize that your conviction is really built on sin. I always ask for mercy. So now we are not being persecuted, because God knows that our faith is not there yet. But every time we hear the word, we must be prepared our hearts. When I do was for missions, when I was going there, fear trembling. When I go through the immigration, I hope it's enough. How to answer this? Do I need a lie? Every time we pray and enter into the country, I have always prepared in my heart, one day, actually, I'll be tested. When you're being tested, when you're guided by the Holy Spirit, when you're being arrested, you will have peace. You remember when the apostles, they are joyful. The apostles, if you are not prepared, mentally prepared, you'll be troubled. You'll be thinking, what happened? If my police comes to my house, when they think along that way. We can build it on a rock or on the sand. When the fire comes, is there a pure gold in it? Or would it be things that will be burnt away? I say again, three things. Know the gospel. Preach the word in season, out of season, ready to be persecuted for the gospel. So then we see what Peter and John did when they are brought before the Sanhedrin. Chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to people. So maybe they will say, enough, don't let them speak anymore. When the persecution come, suddenly the evil spirit react. Sometimes, here, I want to bring everyone to the Sadducees. Of course, there's a priest and the captains of the temple guard and the Sadducees. When they appeared twice, and then after that, they will appear in chapter 5. Sadducees, every time they are persecuting apostles, who are they? Who are they? They are very close to the priest. Jesus was handed over to the priest. They are like a nobility in the society, in the political. So they are in cahoots with the Romans, good relationship with the Romans, so that they have political power. So, in the theology, because Jewish are very religious, they have some beliefs. Sadducees, they do not believe in resurrection. They do not believe in angels. What was the question they tested Jesus with? Talk about marriage. If a person marry after he's married to a wife, then after so after that remarry again, when she goes to heaven, who is the husband? Don't you know? There's no they do not believe in resurrection. They just want to question Jesus. What I want to bring about, someone who doesn't believe in spiritual things and doesn't believe in resurrection, they can be in the religious authority. Then in this position, what kind of message can they say? It is just to remain in this. He's not focused on the future crowns and judgment. He is always thinking about his own interests and authority on earth. If a church leader is someone like this, it's really the end. Are there people? Some spiritual leaders, you know, they did not give them the hope of resurrection. We did not talk about being accountable. So today, what kind of person you need to be? How do you be blessed on earth? Actually, all the teachings about earth, life on earth, is that they will come to a conclusion where we need to account for our life. There will be rewards. If you don't talk about this future, if you talk about things on earth, how to be a good person, how to be excellent, there are a lot of pastors talking about these things. I tell you this, if they are leaders in the church, everything they do is about men. Actually, if their attention is not on the resurrection and eternity, they'll just be focused on things. So today we just need to do the will of God, whether people like me or not. Because I am ultimately accountable to God. That's why they persecute the apostles, because it threatens their position. Things about resurrection. They don't believe such things. So they are in opposition to what the apostles are teaching. So they, first two, they were greatly because they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people. They were disturbed because the apostles were teaching people, proclaiming in Jesus and the resurrection of the dead. It's totally opposite to their beliefs. Peter and John, because they have the attention of the masses, those people who like authority and fame, right, they really hate. Why so many people follow the other? This is their greatest fear. When people follow another, they hate that kind of, because he is in this position because he wants the support of the masses. Of course, as Christians, we are sheep. If what I'm preaching is not aligned to the Bible, then you need to ask. You need to understand. You must be able to discern what is right and wrong. And really discern the motives in a person's heart. Sadducees and the priests, they seized Peter and John because it was evening. they put them in jail until the next day. Of course, they came to the temple to pray. It was afternoon 3 p.m. when chapter 3, 3 in the afternoon, so the lame start to walk, and then after that he preached for a few hours, and then after that they were arrested. Good preaching is not half an hour. When you want to preach the word, you want the thirst of those people who are listening and the passion of the one who is preaching is powered by the Holy Spirit. So there are three groups of people: the priests, of course, within them there are some, the temple guard. It's like a captain, so it's like the temple guard. They are only second to the high priest. And then they arrested the apostles. These are people Satan used to obstruct the gospel. How can the word of God be obstructed? But many who heard the message believe. So the number of men who believe grew to about 5,000. Five of Pentecost, 3,000 believe. This time, the second time he preached, 5,000. It is purely the work of the Holy Spirit. Why do I say this? Actually, the number, so sometimes we use the popular appeal, you know, a lot of people are already believing. Some people will have doubts, you know, what these people are talking about, Christ. So actually, there are very few in numbers at that time. So Peter, John, and they are not the leaders, right? They have no practical experience. You can organize things, you can, they don't know anything. I just can preach that Christ is the Lord. And then we just testify that He has resurrected. And let's just continue to share. If you like your pastor, like your manager or director, if you hope your pastor is someone like that, it's not. It's wrong. When you are spiritual leader, you ask for wisdom. And then we know how to seek the leading of the Holy Spirit. If he becomes a professional, there's many people go for MBA, and you want to. I'm not saying that the church doesn't need management. If you want to go that path, it's difficult, because its church is led by the Holy Spirit and operate on grace. It's just on. It's the pillar of cloud and fire, you know, led by the in the wilderness, led by God in the wilderness. There are some people look for people with a lot of leadership experience. Actually, the Lord is our leader, and we learn together. There are some pastors with appeal and charisma, and you must see. Is his passion based on what he understands about the gospel? It is just his friendliness and his charisma. He brings people before him. when he's no longer around, nobody comes to church. So we must be watchful. Yes. The apostles are not rebels. They are not separatists or rebels. They are very meek people who are sheep. They are not trying to create trouble. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to guide them. And the fourth thing, so the whole environment is against them. Who, of course, spiritually speaking, is the forces of darkness. But at the human level, these are is the Jewish institutions, systems, and powers. It is the whole Jewish institutions, systems, and powers. When after they have rebuilt the temple, then after that it becomes corrupted again, and then Pharisees, that kind of culture, Sadducees culture, it's a few hundred years. When we say it's not a startup, it's not a, there are these institutions, in traditions, codes, it's already ingrained. It's not something you can dismantle in a minute. When Martin Luther started the Reformation, it's not just the 95 theses. It's not just that. The 1,000 years of Roman Catholic institutions, laws, regulations, traditions are already there. And it has already shaped the person's mind. If it's not God wants to do, it cannot be done. In the early church, if you read one by one, you need to think, you need to understand the background. When you hear 5,000, imagine 5,000 believe, you know, you must imagine the opposition that they face, the powers that they are up against. So after they are in prison, and then next day they will. So verse 5, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. The ruler, Sanhedrin. It's something like a parliament. There are 71%. So the chairperson is the high priest. They are under the Roman rule, but then Sanhedrin. But they have the authority to sentence people to death. Under the Roman rule, they can. The Sanhedrin can actually sentence a person. It's a power that is given to them. When you enter to an organization, a lot of people, anything. If you say something that threatens a person's view, then the pressure will come. You must imagine that some people may not experience this throughout their life. You read our history, you know, the church, then in when I see the church splitting and the co-workers, a lot of things, it's all human motive. It's very, all very ugly things. But the gospel we preach is so pure and simple. But our sinful nature is very ugly. Always wants to. Then when we start to have this human motive, we are no different from, want to hold on to power, we are no different from other people. When I go to the family church in China, so because sometimes the preacher, so the preacher needs to, it's just a human, so a small family church, there are some dynamics in it. If the word of God is not rebuilt, this, they say, welcome Pastor Vincent. I know they are talking about things. This one will talk about this. This one will talk about. You need the word of God to rebuke everyone, so everyone is righteous, becomes to be upright. Don't do this. It's not of this office politics. It should not happen in church. So we will come back here. So, rulers, elders, they met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, do you remember the name? Actually, he's an esteemed position. He was the high priest, but the Romans didn't like him, so he, Caiaphas is the son-in-law. When Jesus Christ was being charged, they were all here. Now they are gathered together to judge the apostles. John, Alexander, and others of the high priest family. I believe they are all involved in the sentencing of Jesus. In that time, they sit in a circle and bring the apostles and then surround them and question them, interrogate them. It's like they are caught. Are you afraid? So the people of power can sentence you to death, they can put you to be crucified by the Romans. They had Peter and John brought before them. By what power or what name do you do this? So when Jesus was in Jerusalem to clean up the temple, when they asked, by what authority, who gave you the authority to do this? Same question, similar words they asked the apostles. Brothers and sisters, many people like to use the power of man to scare others, but they do not understand the authority of God. They like to use those people who likes to use human authority, they do not know God's authority because they like to use. Do you know who I am? Do you know I have this kind of words? Do you know I can authority to sentence you to death? We need to see past all these things. We need to, in all this authority, no authority does not come from God. And when you are oppressed by those people in authority, you need to look at those who give them the authority. If you obey the highest authority, when you say and you do, your conscience is clear, then your human authority cannot threaten you. When you face, what can this person do to me? What can he deprive me of? He don't give me a pay increment. When you deal with him, you have no power. This is something that we feel in the office when we talk about submission. We are all living in a system. We're not living in this. We need to give them the proper respect. If the country needs to impose tax, we need to pay tax. What the boss expect you to do? So sometimes when so the boss authority become, you have no power because you never ask the Lord. What the Lord tells us that His authority is above all this authority. What is the thing that you need to do, if you are diligent and faithful in your work, if you do your part, you need to receive the reward of man. So when we read all these things, all these principles are very clearly spelled out. Verse 8, very so important, filled with the Holy Spirit. We must really study this. Was he filled with the Holy Spirit in chapter 2? That he spoke in tongues. All the different languages. And then, here did he speak in tongues? He never speak in tongues. It's a sign in chapter 2 to see why there is the anointing from God. Because man needs to see, because Holy Spirit cannot be seen. There's a sign to be displayed to them. But when they are filled with the Holy Spirit, when now the Holy Spirit and he was briefly and wisely preached the word, he has the power in his heart. In his heart. He has a very firm heart to. He can preach the gospel boldly. Some people are timid and then fear of men. When you are fearful, you can't say a lot of things. The other thing, but sometimes people can preach boldly. If they don't have eloquence, they cannot have the wisdom. they cannot take captive the thoughts of men. So we need the Holy Spirit to help us so that we can preach the word boldly and have the eloquence to do so that. So we ask a very important question. If a person wants to be holy, if wants to be able to preach the word boldly, and then is there preparatory work? You must know, the Bible has given us, the God has given us the Bible. Is it really human eloquence? So it can give you the what you want to say. The content is in the from the Bible. So to prove that God's truth is indeed the truth, absolute truth. Why do we need to read the Bible? Reading the Bible. If you're not preparing, if you don't want to study the Bible, you don't imagine you will be, you don't imagine you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. So sometimes our pace of living is really a challenge. So my every time when he's not working, he read a very study Bible, very thick. He will read. Is there some explanation? Once he start working, so it has been in my living room for so many days without touching it. Every day. Now you know. When you're a student, if you don't read it when you're a student, when you work, but this is a reality. When we are reading in this, if we don't intentionally take time to, the time will be gone. Even at time, you must. Some people, they go to office, they read the Bible, the time will be lost. Especially now, where did the time will be lost to a mobile phone. We scroll for a while, it's 1 hour. The other thing is prayer. Actually, quiet time is reading the Bible and prayer. It's not a ritual thing. When Peter, they did not intend to do. They want to pray. They want to face the Lord. So they did not go there to perform miracles. When you are dealing with all kinds of things, the busyness of life, there's a heart. So you, you must deal with all this. You must deal with the God who is above all this. Your anxieties must be cast to the Lord. In your weaknesses, you must look to Him. If you don't face this God, words of men will affect you. When you pray less, you see that they have a bit of fear. If you have prayed, they are very upright. They do not scared of saying the truth when they are with others. Yes, they say yes. No, they say no. When they respect those people, so faced with authority, Daniel, when he talked to the king, actually the king respect him because the king can see that he always serve his Lord. Prayer is not someone say, some people just pray 3 hours and then when after they come out, they are fearful of everything. When you worship and face the Lord with spirit and truth, and then and really seek Him, and then do His will, and His he has this courage. It's not, he doesn't scared of people. If you fear God, you're not fear man. Think about this. These are things of life. When we, I'm not just telling you the background history. If I don't, I didn't tell you the spiritual element, we'll just read this a lot. It's not very useful just to have the knowledge. So think, ponder about such things. The foundations of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Read the word and pray and seek His face. From Peter's prayer, you will see. When he prays, so, and then you will see that again. Feel the Holy Spirit, rulers and elders of the people. If we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and then are being asked how he was healed, very wise, very sharp words. What is he saying? Are you judging us because we did an act of kindness so that they have nothing else to say? Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you is healed. Jesus, you crucified them, you have a sin. It doesn't seek man's approval. First you tell them but he is the one God raised from the dead, whom God exalted. Sorry, people of Israel, the rulers, elders. So from that, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. This is quoted from Psalm 118. They rejected the words of Jesus. What good things can come from Nazareth? When he's nailed to the cross, they rejected him. Give us Barabbas. When they say, if you are the Son of God, you come out, come down yourself. If you can save others, you cannot save yourself. It's mocking and insulting him. But he is the one exalted by God. The stone, actually, it becomes two walls when you need to. There's a cornerstone. What is this? So he is the reconciler of God, Jews and Gentiles, God and man, husband and wife, parents and children. He's the one who, so that all those that are separated, divided, can be joined together. He is the cornerstone. Verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. This is the most classic verse. This is the verse that people of the world hate and mocked. This is what caused them to be persecuted. But this is the only verse that can give us salvation. Salvation is found in no one else. Such a message. This is the you like come to Jesus, you confess his name, okay. I also believe, I also want to believe. I also believe in Confucius. I also believe many things, all these things. I want to believe everything that causes us people to believe. So we need to say, is salvation is found in no one else. The necessity, even the offensive of the gospel. So speak, tell the Muslims, to the Taoists, the Buddhists, the unbelieving family members, we need to see this. So in the end, God will reveal, will prove himself. And then he is truly turned to God. It's very cheap. You just easily believe. But you must really experience going out of darkness and into the light. Found in no one else, Jarvis. No religious leader. No one can depend on themselves to be safe. Actually, if they don't want to, they don't want to turn to God, they want to rely on themselves. They create a lot of religion. They know that these are things they cannot do. Because we know, we have a conscience that know that there's no good in us. Even things that we come up with ourselves, we cannot comply with. That's why Jesus has sent his son. Because salvation is found in no one else. Some people. Why? That's why Jesus, why Christians always say, it's not whether we are the only way. But the God has given us one way. Why did God not give us many ways? God can also not give us any, can give us not any way, but thank God. Why? Which faith can really cover your sins? It's not whether we are not pious, we are not godly. Everyone is doing these good works and they are godly. But the sin against God, if it's not forgiven, and then you will sin against others, you will sin against the world. Which name can forgive our sins? Godliness, good works, merits, good habits, all cannot save us. It's all because of sin. So point them to sin. This is the gospel. There's only one who can save us from our sins. This is the climax of his whole message. So, as an evangelist, so this perspective, Peter, at the beginning, he performed a healing. Everybody is very curious this healing happened. When Peter, chapter 3 and 4, from a healing message, salvation message, salvation is found in no one else. When the Bible talks about salvation. They talk about it very generally, and then we talk about healing. Jesus can heal your body, all these things, all marital problems. Actually, we know Peter's focus is to bring people to salvation. Now a lot of message talks about our healing. there is a we know why because what really God wants to focus on, and he really wants to share the message of salvation. It's not this is not what the Bible teaches us. You know, there's one healing happen every month. Every week we do a healing service. If you have a mental terminal illness, mental illness, all this, after all this problem, immediately must bring him or her to salvation. Know Christ. Know the value of salvation. If not, to know all this so that you can walk with God. They will just remain in this blessing. I just want to... They never come before. No matter what we have gone through, good or bad things, from all these things, we must turn it to a salvation match. Is that really the climax? This is what the Bible wants to talk about. May the Lord help us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Enable us to see that you have filled the apostle with the Spirit and they can preach the mysteries of the gospel and exalt Christ. And we thank you that you have helped us to see in season and out season they preach the gospel in all opportunities. In all situations, they preach the gospel. We pray that we also have this understanding of the gospel. And we pray help all of us. May all of us. And that we are all encouraged by your words. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.